This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
There were about 300 homeless people recorded living in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania in January of 2017. In Philadelphia, it's more than triple that amount. But there's a difference between those who are homeless and those who wish not to have a home. Either way, they're people and they're loved by somebody. Michael Ewer was a gentle, free spirit. He did have some mental health issues, but Michael liked to live independently and he really loved to ride trains. He was close to his family, who he wanted to be near, but he liked living outside. As his sister told a reporter once, Michael loved to sleep under the stars.
Suspicious deaths, murders, the missing. Every victim has a story, even if every story doesn't have an ending. From Gone Cold, Philadelphia Unsolved Murders, this is What Happened To.
On the morning of October 20th, 2005.
It was a fall morning, it was a crisp morning.
Mike Trail was working as a land sale police officer in Montgomery County. He's now chief of police.
I had been in that area around the park a couple times during the day because that was my assigned patrol zone for the day, and I handled some calls actually just off the park that morning with a homeless individual who was in need of some help, so worked through that.
As Halloween was approaching, a man who was working with the township was cutting the grass around Memorial Park. It's located right off of Main Street near Pennsdale Middle School. It's 10 acres, has a cement memorial dedicated to veterans, tennis courts, and a baseball field, with a hunter green sign behind home plate reading, Home of the Lansdale Tigers.
He had driven past the dugout several times as he mowed the grass and noticed something in there.
Since it was Halloween, people were already putting up decorations, and kids sometimes hung in the park. And so he thought maybe it could be a prank. So at first he didn't think anything of it, but he cruised by again.
He realized there was something more nefarious.
And called 911. That's when Trail and his partner headed to Memorial Park.
We got there, Sergeant Bubbles and I. He was, the gentleman made a report, was with his lawnmower kind of several hundred yards away from the dugout. And then we made our approach to try and determine what actually was going on in there.
It was a body.
As soon as we got to the edge of the dugout and we were able to look in, we definitely could tell that it was a deceased subject. There was indications of blood and whatnot, and you could tell it was somebody in a sleeping bag. Obviously, as we got closer and closer, you know, the gravity of what we were dealing with kind of hit us. Now, I wasn't able to identify anybody from what we saw instantly at that moment, so it took some time.
Lansdale Police patrols the township, but when it comes to major crimes, Montgomery County detectives are called in, and they work closely with each of the local police departments. It would be the county prosecutor who handles the case.
It was pretty clear right then we were dealing with a suspicious death just based on what we saw, you know, in that cursory investigation. So we pulled out, we secured the scene, and then we read for, you know, detectives to start their process.
Lansdale has about 16,000 people. It's a working class town.
At that time, Lansdale was kind of a little gritty railroad town. We still have those roots from the rail center and industry. We actually were kind of in a lull within our economic development. The town had some businesses that had gone out, the tile plant. Tyco Manufacturing, which was based here, had recently closed. So at that time, it was kind of on its downward slope, so to speak. A lot of bars, a lot of people coming and going. We have a large regional transportation center in the Lansdale Transportation Center. We had three train stations at the time in town. So definitely a lot of people would come and go.
I actually grew up in the county and remember driving through the town's main street lined with delis, thrift stores, and coffee shops.
Today, we're enjoying a relative lull in criminal activity in town. You know, back in 2005, you know, when you say high crime, it's all relative, right? So, you know, spending some time in Baltimore where there was a murder every other day, then a murder every 2 years in Lansdale, no, not high crime, but there was always concerns. There was always an element regarding drugs in town and some of the bars and whatnot, but we've kind of come past that. But at that time, it was still a little tough little town.
The town was a mini transportation hub in the county. The end was SEPTA's old R5, the Lansdale-Doylestown line. It's also right off of 309, a major road connecting Montgomery County to Philadelphia.
It wasn't uncommon to have people sleeping outside in our parks, and we understood that as part of what was going on in the community at the time. But I wouldn't say we had a homeless problem, just we had people who were out there in our parks.
Investigators know the dead man was likely killed sometime overnight between Wednesday the 19th and Thursday the 20th. They won't give too many details about the evidence found, but we know the body was in a sleeping bag.
It's a dugout. It's a kind of a little bit in the ground a little bit, so you have to walk down some steps. It's all concrete. There's a long, solid aluminum bench in there, maybe kind of like 6 feet wide and maybe about 10 feet long, so it's a very narrow area. With respect to blood, I've seen a lot of crime scenes. There was a lot of blood, but the way it was contained in this certain area, there wasn't a lot of like splatter that you would suggest that there was a high velocity impact or something like that. This is it seemed a little bit more focused. But yeah, it was terrific. It was a lot of blood. It was one of those things that stick with you. Yeah.
Jim McGowan is with the Montgomery County Detectives, and he arrived that afternoon. He's now lead investigator on the case.
Yeah, when we had gone up and examined the scene, you could see that it appeared to be a blitz attack. It occurred very quickly, and it occurred that everything had occurred at the location where the body was at. It was not as if we had, you know, anyone trying to defend themselves or any type of evidence to indicate that this was, the person was chased or pursued by anyone or even had the opportunity to defend themselves. It was all very concentrated and very quick.
They realized pretty quickly it was a homicide. The local paper, the Montgomery News, had a photograph in one of their articles about the killing. You can see investigators pulling up an orangish-red sleeping bag with splotches on it, but you can't tell if it's blood or if it was the way that it was designed.
Nothing outside the door, just like a person sleeping in the dugout, as would have been seen on numerous times before. We had people down there. So there wasn't anything out of the ordinary related to that. It was just what I would call the violence of the attack.
There were severe injuries, blunt force trauma to the head. Officers collected some of the items around the body.
We had gathered evidence. We had examined and documented footprints, and also had tested several areas for DNA and other forensic evidence,
including a footprint. And they did a blood spatter analysis. Eventually, officials identified the victim as 49-year-old Michael Ewer.
Yeah, actually, I remember him being described, kind of as a free spirit. He enjoyed being outdoors, living outdoors on occasion. His family had said he was a kind man, but, I guess he had some issues where, he enjoyed being outside, transient, moving around, and also enjoyed taking public transportation.
He was very close with his sister, who has since died. According to that Montgomery News article, Michael was his sister's pride and joy, the family said. The article notes he served in the Army, but eventually had a nervous breakdown after his mother died. But his siblings were always around. Michael had places to live throughout his life, and he was actually okay with money. But they say he just wanted to live outside under the stars.
He had a history of sleeping in the park and being around that park. We dealt with him on numerous occasions in the preceding years leading up to this at the park. So he was very familiar with the park. I think he felt very comfortable and almost a degree safe there. But we had interacted with him numerous occasions, about a half dozen perhaps prior to this incident, where he'd been sleeping out in public and in the park, sleeping in the park, and other issues there too.
But Michael was never a problem. His family told the local paper that he would never hurt a fly. He was nearly afraid of people. He just kept to himself.
I believe, in my opinion, this was a very targeted attack. Okay, I don't believe this was a random individual who had no knowledge of Mr. Ewer and just stumbled upon him. I feel that this attacker knew his target, and he targeted Mr. Ewer, and I honestly believe that.
Investigators spent months interviewing hundreds of witnesses.
We have had numerous leads and witnesses come forward from back in 2005. We had identified that Michael Ewer actually had traveled out of state in the days prior to this using public transportation. He was up in the Boston, Massachusetts area, and that he had returned back to the Lansdale area in the days just prior to his murder.
They even traveled down south, tracking down tips.
Due to the transient nature of some of the people that came forward, they often traveled to other areas of the United States. And back then, one of the things that we had looked at was Hurricane Katrina had impacted the United States back in August of 2005. We saw many of the people were going down to the area of New Orleans, Louisiana, and along the Gulf Coast for odd jobs to be done. We have actually traveled as far down as New Orleans, Louisiana, and also down into the Slidell, Louisiana area around Lake Pontchartrain in following up on some of the leads on this case. We have identified individuals who were previously with Michael Ewer, who were either friends or loose associates.
But still, they have no one in custody.
It was very intense and very brutal, almost you could describe this as very interpersonal with the level of violence that was inflicted upon him.
I implore the public, someone out there, and I'm sadly to say, I believe someone in Lansdale or has ties with Lansdale or knows Lansdale is the person at foot here. And we need to work together as a community to try and get the information. Any lead, how inconsequential you think it could be, any piece of information, we are willing to take it, run it down, and do what has to be done to bring justice for Michael Uhr. The reality is somebody knows something in the public. There's someone out there who knows what happened to Michael Uhr that day. And, you know, it's our job to continue to fight for him and to find out that information.
Every year, investigators resurrect this case. It always sits on their desk. There's a $5,000 reward for information leading to an arrest.
I believe it's very important to solve this case so that the community and, more importantly, Michael Uhr's family get some closure here. When we have a homicide victim, we certainly don't select their background. We always seek to get justice for them and their family. We're usually the voice that speaks for the victims in these cases. And I just think Michael Uhr needs a voice, and we want to resolve this.
Do you know anything about what happened to Michael Uhr? If you do, there's a $5,000 reward for information. You can call Montgomery County Detectives at 610-278-3368 or Lansdale Police at 215-368-1801. Thanks for listening to What Happened To. I'm Kristen Johansson. If you like this podcast, help us keep making it. Leave a rating and review in the show on Apple Podcasts. We'll have another episode coming out in a few weeks.